Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Tuesday, everybody. It's the Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Scott Engel. A lot to get into because the quote-unquote legal tampering period is officially underway, which means we already know where people are headed for NFL free agency, although there's always a last-minute swerve that might come up. We've got a lot of reports of things that are happening, are quote-unquote unofficial, so we'll dive into that. Scott, are you ready for this? Is free agency week has already begun, even though it doesn't technically count until tomorrow at 4 p.m.?
Yeah, it's here already. It's the big news is rolling fast and furious.
That's for sure. You can sound a little bit more excited about it.
I don't know. Keeping a level head about it. There's a lot to come here and digest. You get a little bowled over.
I know, but it's NFL free agency. This is the time where everybody can have hopes and dreams, unless you're a Giants fan and it gets snatches out from underneath you.
Oh, stop it!
What? It did. Andrew Norwell's going to the Jaguars.
So?
Which Giants fans aren't supposed to be upset
about that. Maybe they'll sign somebody else.
No, there's nobody on the free agency to sign. He was the only good offensive lineman out there.
I got to look at the list.
Yeah, two of them were with the Giants. Both of them were coming off injuries. One they're moving on from.
Not like they still can't make a trade or, have a draft pick.
How many times did the trade actually happen? Especially for a quality offensive lineman. Come on. This isn't like, whatever. Just be realistic, Scott. If the Seahawks missed out on their top option, on their top person they were targeting, and it was somebody of this level, you'd be upset too.
You move on.
No, but you'd be upset too.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get upset about a guy they don't get because he was never on the team to begin with.
Yeah, whatever. All right, well then, Giants fans can be upset with me.
Well, you have a unique perspective on the Giants.
I don't have a unique perspective. Everybody
yes, you do.
Out there.
You don't want them to draft Saquon Barkley.
We're not doing
want
this
them to
again,
trade
Scott.
Odell Beckham.
We're not doing this
I have
again.
Have to remind everybody.
No, because they can go out and look at the same articles that are out there on a multitude of sites. It's not a unique perspective. You make it sound like I'm the only one, and I'm not by far.
I think there are a lot of Giant fans who'd like to have Saquon Barkley.
And there's a lot of Giants fans who don't. And there's a lot of Giants fans who are tired with Odell Beckham, too. My point being is their offensive line is miserable.
I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily, but
okay, and
if they don't get a star player, maybe they can get a solid guy.
They had a bunch of mediocre solid guys last year, and look at what it got them. They needed a significant upgrade. This was the main target. Norwell was supposed to be the favorite. He had the connections to Gettleman. Everything was supposed to be happening, and then they were one of the finalists last night, and then this morning.
What if they got Josh Sitton?
He's subpar. The fact is, Andrew Norwell was a top five free agent in this class, no matter what
Bushrod.
Position. Again, subpar. He'd be lucky to get a starting job anywhere at this point.
Jari Evans?
Even worse. So you're just going down the list. The point is he was a top five free agent no matter what position you were talking about.
So the season's over then for the Giants already at the beginning of free agency.
Is that what I'm saying?
It may have sounded like it.
No, I'm not. You're making it sound like I can't be disappointed because they missed out on one of the best free agents out there who are going to significantly help one of their biggest weaknesses. Actually, their biggest weakness. I'm sorry. Like, I want to be disappointed about that.
I wouldn't be shocked if they make a trade. We've seen some trades already.
Not for offensive linemen. You know, offensive linemen don't get traded. Not quality ones.
The Seahawks traded Max Unger to get Jimmy Graham, right?
And what happened?
It was quality. That was a mistake.
And it was. And
not for the Saints, though.
They don't have that kind of talent to give up. And there's not.
I think it'd be very doom and gloom and contrarian.
No, I'm not being contrarian. Would you stop with that?
You are being contrarian.
No, I'm not.
I want Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to stop. No.
You're just going down the same road, singing the same tune.
Because you have some very unique perspectives on
things. It's not a unique perspective, Scott. If I was the only person that's unique.
Free agency didn't even start yet. I wouldn't go doom and gloom just yet.
It's not doom and gloom either. You like do the same routine over and over and over and over again.
So? You play into the same routine.
It's old.
You play into the same routine.
No, because I play into
your contrarian viewpoints.
Because I let you do it. It's not contrarian. You got your head in the mud.
Straight Jake Steele. You don't let me do anything.
You get your head in the mud over there.
You're Mr. Unusual over there.
Yeah, you can keep saying that. You're wrong, but you can keep saying
no,
that.
No, that's my opinion. That doesn't mean it's wrong.
And it's wrong. And it's wrong. Yes, it is.
My viewpoint.
Because it's about me. No, you can't tell me what I am. You know what?
It's an outside viewpoint of you.
You know what? My opinion of you, you're wrong. Ha, in your face. You're wrong.
Opinions are not wrong.
You're wrong.
Opinions are subjective.
Okay, so my opinion of you is wrong. Ha.
No,
you're wrong.
Not necessarily.
So it's right. Can't have my opinion be wrong. My opinion, you're wrong. I win. Story over.
No, you don't.
That's my opinion as well. Can't be wrong. You said it.
Just because you feel strongly about your opinion doesn't mean it's any more valid than mine.
It's my opinion. You said it can't be wrong. So
it can't be right either.
It is.
It's neither right nor wrong.
Nope, you can't play both sides of the fence, Scott. I win.
We're not talking facts here. The difference between fact and an opinion.
Right.
Opinions
and you said
are subjective.
Opinions can't be wrong. My opinion is you're wrong.
They can't be right either.
I win.
They're neither.
I win. We're over.
You know, you lose.
Nope. And Walking Dead still sucks.
If that's your opinion. And that's neither right nor wrong. That's just your taste. It's just your viewpoint.
It's right, too. Let's see what else.
No.
Wow. Let's see.
You're really full of yourself. And I am definitely not wrong about that.
Seahawks are rebuilding. They suck. Let's see what else.
That's not true either.
I'm trying to think what the Mets
If I go by the dictionary definition of what a rebuild is, then you're definitely wrong. It's to build something up again when it's destroyed. The Seahawks have not been destroyed. They're remodeling. They're retooling. They're not rebuilding.
And that see, I was just joking around, but now you're playing semantics over there.
No, I'm not. There's a difference in the dictionary between what rebuilding is and what remodeling is.
Yeah, they're doing it all.
No,
just
they're
like
not.
The Giants.
If they were rebuilt, no, they're a better team than the Giants.
Not now.
Yes,
not
they are.
It's just everything they gave away.
It's like, Jake, I expect better of you than to, you know, look at the big, just look at like 1-2 losses and then not look at the fact they still have a franchise quarterback and they still have some very good pieces on defense.
Okay.
They have the best middle linebacker and the best free safety in football.
Okay. And if you put the rosters side by side next to each other, the Seahawks don't have tons more talent. Not anymore.
You can build around a franchise quarterback. And their defense is definitely better than the Giants. They have a better quarterback than
what's
the Giants.
What's left? What's left at this point on defense?
Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, Frank Clark. You can build around that.
Okay.
Now look, I want to be clear here because I was talking with Corey about this last night. Okay.
No, hold on.
The goalposts have moved.
The
goalposts have moved. Okay. This is not a rebuilding team because a rebuilding team is a team that's going to win like 4 or 5 games. You know, they're not a rebuilding team. They're not a Super Bowl team anymore. They're not a Super Bowl contender anymore. They can still be a playoff team. They have the pieces to build around to still have a shot at the playoffs.
Not unless they make some moves As of right now, they're not a playoff team.
They cleared, but the season doesn't start today. What they did was they still have pieces to build around. They have one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. You could always build around that. They still have some outstanding pieces on defense.
And you can say a lot about the Giants.
Such as?
The best wide receiver in the NFL, one of the best defensive lines, one of the best safeties in the NFL.
Yeah.
They have plenty of talent, too. I mean,
they do. I expected better of them last year.
Well, everybody did.
Yeah.
You know what? But the problem is they ignored the offensive line, and they already lost out on that. And now their offensive line, as of right now, is Brett Jones, Eric Flowers, and nobody.
I don't know if that's what the offensive line is going to look like when the season starts.
It's not. And the sad thing is there's nothing else out there unless they somehow convince Pugh to come back, because they were already moving on from him, and now they are left kind of going back to their jilted lover and seeing if they'll take them back. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I wanted to leave you for this better person. Won't you come back to me? That's what the Giants are going to have to do, hat in hand. There, look, you love that too. I just threw out a cliche for you.
Oh, boy. It's not off to a good start today.
What's off to a good start? How about the Bears? Allen Robinson is headed to the Bears. They finally get a number one wide receiver who hopefully can stay on the field, unlike Kevin White. Or, well, Kevin White was never a number one. He just always had the potential. But they have a number one now in Allen Robinson.
Number one disappointment.
What?
Number one disappointment.
Oh, yeah. That's no question about it. So Allen Robinson to the Bears. Fantasy impact for Allen Robinson. Fantasy impact for Trubisky. What are your initial thoughts, Scott?
This guy had a great year in 2015. 2016 numbers were down, and then obviously had the injuries last year. But still, the talent is there, and I think the Bears are building something very solid over there. They have a very good running back in Jordan Howard. They have what they feel is their franchise quarterback in Trubisky, and now they finally get him the wide receiver. They were linked to Watkins, too, but obviously that's not going to happen now with him going to Kansas City. But, he's going to eat up a lot of targets, and I think he's got a lot to prove. And Trubisky, maybe he gets somebody else in that passing game, but that's his clear number one receiver. I think he'll throw the ball more this year. I think he'll be a good fantasy wide receiver, too. And Trubisky's only going to get better in my eyes.
Yeah, I actually think wide receiver two, easy in my opinion. And I'm not expecting the Jacksonville numbers of all those touchdowns in his first season the first season with him, like Bortles, where they played well together. We scored 14. That's not happening. But I could easily see the 80 receptions, 1,200 yards, 7-8 touchdowns, which would put him not just as a wide receiver two, but high-end wide receiver two.
Yeah, I could see it. Look, it's all about health, and he can certainly bounce back. I think he's going to play with a lot to prove.
I think that's too. The good thing is he got a long-term contract here, in essence, and he can build that rapport with Trubisky and get started with that. And I think Trubisky, I don't know if you saw this, Scott, but about a month ago when I was doing my off-season football articles, it said finding the next, and it was finding the next breakout quarterback, the breakout running back, and the breakout wide receiver. And you know this, just off the top of your head, where the majority of fantasy people would go at quarterback. They would jump to Mahomes because everybody's enamored with Mahomes and people wanted to see Mahomes. Yeah, it's Mahomes. So the breakout quarterback you should be looking at is the same draft class, same rookie class as Mitchell Trubisky, because Mitchell Trubisky, for all the compliments that everybody wants to give Mahomes, very similar in what they do is the fact that they have the athleticism, they have the skills, they have everything. They just need the smarts. They need to learn how to read a defense. They need to learn the progressions and go through them. But if you look at Trubisky, the biggest thing, too, is look at his wide receivers last year. Now you have Cam Meredith coming back from his injury with Allen Robinson. And whatever they do in the running game, whether or not they trade or hold on to Jordan Howard, but you still have Tariq Cohen. You have Adam Shaheen in the second year at tight end. This could be, and I said, I don't think it will be quite as good as Jared Goff's second season, the years that he just had last year. But I think Trubisky could be that Jared Goff type of sender where he's a high-end QB2 with these now weapons.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. He really didn't have anything to work with last year. He's mobile. Some people talk about his lack of college football experience, but what they're doing is they're doing the right thing around him and building the right pieces around him.
Yeah, absolutely. So you drafting Trubisky late in drafts, or you just let him sit out there and maybe grab him after a week or two?
Pick Trubisky up for my fantasy team?
Yeah, like would you draft him in like the 14th round?
A lot of times I'm not going to draft a backup quarterback. So I'd
see, I changed my tune with that.
So did I. I was the other way.
Like you were?
I always felt like I needed one, but then I'm always finding a decent one on free agency.
No,
need him for 1 week.
I'll agree with that. Is I think it's different too when you talk about.
It depends on who your starter is, though.
Well, obviously, you're not drafting one if you're drafting the Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and those are the world. But if you're draft, as soon as you drop down into that third tier, which the guys were, you know, like top of my head, Kirk Cousins doesn't have the best game every single week. You probably don't want to ever try to sit Kirk Cousins. But like, if you're in that Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Philip Rivers, Stafford, if you're in that range,
yeah.
I have no problem
with it. I can see taking him in the last round.
Because the big thing is you get it.
I might still take my defense ahead of him.
I don't know if I would go that. Yeah, because I'm more of the fact that the defense, 9 out of 10 times, the number one defense doesn't end up being anything. Actually, Scott, do you know the last time a number one scoring fantasy defense has finished back-to-back? Number one?
I don't remember. It might have been like the Ravens or something.
Further back than
correctly.
That.
Yeah.
99-2000 Steelers.
Yeah, that's but, you know, we're just going 1-1. You know, when was the last time like the number one finished like in the top five the next year?
No, it's probably, I think it happened like once or twice since then.
Yeah.
Because I ran all the numbers. I'm
pretty sure the Seattle defense had to be top five at least 2 years in a row.
I don't know if they were too, because you remember Seattle's defense was actually just really good in real life, but not always good in fantasy. Like the Eagles were the number one defense, not this past year. I'm talking about a couple of years ago when they were miserable at giving up points because fantasy is different than real life. You know how that works.
Yeah.
So in any case, but yeah, I started drafting those quarterbacks because instead of waiting and then everybody's going to get Jared Goff, everybody's going to get Deshaun Watson off the wire, and then you hope that you're the one that gets them. Maybe just draft him and he turns into something for you in 3 weeks, and then you either have a trade chip or you have a brand new quarterback that's even better. Because if you look at last year for the QB1s, Carson Wentz undrafted, Alex Smith undrafted, I said Jared Goff already undrafted, Case Keenum, Blake Bortles undrafted. So, you know, you might get yourself a QB1 and then. Yeah, you might actually even be better than the person you did. All those guys finished ahead of Mariota, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, Eli Manning. I mean, you can keep going down the list of quarterbacks. They all finished in front of Matt Ryan. So you just never know.
It really depends on who your starter is. I don't think there's an absolute answer to it. And it depends on where you're getting him in the draft. But I think he's got a lot to prove to the point where I'll take
hit a break,
number two's over him.
Break. Didn't hear the music. We're coming back. Roto Experts.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Back to the Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Scott Engel. NFL free agency is in full effect despite this legal tampering, whatever. They need a new name for that, Scott. But get a lot to get to. Some more news from that. Some baseball news we didn't get to yesterday. Continue to get to today. As well as if you're looking to get the DFS, check out Fantasy Factors, the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going. Right now, free entry into the March Madness bracket and Sweet 16 bracket. And Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby this year. So sign up and enter. It's fantasyfactor.com. All right, Scott, here's the other big wide receiver, Sammy Watkins. These are the two top ones. It was Watkins and Robinson, and it looks like they're not going to be spending much time on free agency. Actually, they're not even going to hit free agency technically because as soon as the bell tolls on Wednesday, the deals are already done. Watkins is going to the Chiefs, so not only do the Chiefs finally have a number one wide receiver, but guess what? Alex Smith doesn't get to enjoy it because he's gone. It's Sammy Watkins and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting now. This is like a totally remade and different Chiefs team than we've already seen with Alex Smith. You know, now you have Tyreek Hill is one deep threat. You have Sammy Watkins is another deep threat. You have a Travis Kelce who can move the chains. But the big X factor is here, can Patrick Mahomes, as much as everybody loves how much he can throw the deep ball and how exciting it can he be a high percentage passer that moves the offense consistently? And will Sammy Watkins be any more reliable than he was last year? Because there's two other targets there.
There are, but at least it's giving Patrick Mahomes all the weapons to be successful. Do you think? I've already said this before, Scott, and it goes back to something we just said in the first segment about Mitchell Trubisky, and I said everybody's going to be all over Mahomes and knew that anyway. But with this signing on top of everything, so Kareem Hunt, you just mentioned, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, the excitement around Patrick Mahomes, the most overdrafted quarterback as of today. There's plenty of time, but I think as we could say it right now with the assumption that people are going to be drafting him as a fringe, potentially inside QB1 territory, and going to be wildly overdrafting Patrick Mahomes next year.
It's very possible. We don't know what kind of consistency we're going to see from week to week.
No, we don't. Not at all. And actually, I'm looking right now, and I did my way too early rankings, as we always do on this network and on this for the Roto Experts site. By the way, go over and check Roto Experts. Hey, not just football, Scott. That's right. Because every season, thousands of players like you come to RotoExperts.com to help make their season a winning season. You can talk to premium Roto Experts Slack channel and get that one-on-one feeling with our award-winning experts. Dominate your draft. Most accurate baseball rankings led by Scott, this guy, the King, Angle, and myself. You get a draft package, cheat sheet generator, player projections, and much more. We're also giving off 20% off, Scott, DailyRoto.com and their DFS products. It's powered by Millionaire Maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer. They've also made three other Millionaire Makers over there. Go to rotoexperts.com/MLB18 today and save 10% off with promo code. You know the code, right? You know it at this point, Scott.
Yes, what is it? FNTSY.
10% off. It's very easy. You're listening to FNTSY. You use the code for FNTSY, and you get 20% off. All right, so I'm looking right now for my 2018 rankings. I have Patrick Mahomes at 20th, Scott.
Who do you have right ahead of him?
Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
So are you saying
fair.
Yes?
That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alex Smith?
I'd probably rank Mahomes over Smith.
Alex Smith was number 3 last year. I agree with
more
you.
More upside
looking at the
for
two.
Mahomes.
There's more upside, but Alex Smith also finished.
Who's his receivers? He's got Crowder and what else?
Well, that's the remains to be seen. Yeah. Doxon, Crowder, and if Jordan Reed can ever stay on the field. But he's,
no,
I think he was
20th
the year before, 15th the year before that. I think 17th or, yeah, something like that. So he's always, that's the thing. I have the same reaction you do, Scott, but I look at the fact that Alex Smith continually finishes inside the top 20 all the time. So Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott, Jimmy Garoppolo, Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck. I mean, how you can't put Mahomes against any of those guys except maybe Alex Smith.
Yeah, just, I've never been an Alex Smith guy. I guess the numbers say otherwise. You know, he had the best year of his career throwing downfield. If he can copy that in Washington, you know, I guess I'm underrating him.
No, I don't know that we're so much underrating him. It's just, what does he really do for you? I think, I'll put it this way, Scott, and I think you might agree with this, is the reason we go, whatever, he's kind of like Frank Gore. Is he ends up there because he's just consistently in the middle and he always plays 16 games. Like, it's not like he's not ever winning you a week. I mean, maybe like
I
last
think,
year.
Know, as an NFL quarterback, I'm not a fan, but a fantasy quarterback, he's probably outproduced what I'm saying.
Yeah, he'll probably outproduce, but at the same time, if we get all these quarterbacks taking a step forward and they all don't miss time, he'll get bumped back. But it's the fact of, you know, is he going to play the full season? Will they play the full season? But in any case, so those are the two big ones, wide receiver. The one other one, speaking of quarterbacks, Case Keenum, Scott, to the Broncos. The Broncos are clearly out. Yep, no more Kirk Cousins chase for them. And I think this is a long time assumed that Cousins was going to be the Vikings, and it would be a surprise if he went anywhere else. But the Broncos, Kirk Cousins, not an option. Case Keenum, their fallback plan. They move quickly because, and somebody wrote about that yesterday too, saying Case Keenum could be the first one to fall from the Vikings because people are going to just say, you know what, we're not going to screw around and be left holding the bag, to use that a second time, just because I keep wanting to use that, Scott, because I know how much you love cliches. But Case Keenum, 14th quarterback in fantasy last year in 15 games, played the best season of his career. We all know that. We have to say this is an upgrade for Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, even if Case Keenum isn't quite. Let's just take Case Keenum takes a small step back. It's still an upgrade of anything they saw at the quarterback position last year, right, Scott?
Yeah, you know, Keenum last year, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. There was no precedent for expecting anything what he did, and he did have some good weeks as a fantasy quarterback, solid, sometimes outstanding. And he's proved that if you surrounded him with talent, that he can win. But I think some people will think maybe he still has to prove he wasn't a one-year wonder and there was a better team around him in Minnesota. Not that it'll suck around him in Denver. But, you know, he's got Emmanuel Sanders. He's got Demaryius Thomas. So he's got some pieces to work with. You know, he can still be a high-end number two fantasy quarterback.
Yep, I think so as well. And so those are the biggest pieces of news today. We got, like I said, Case Keenum. I think for fantasy purposes of his own, he's obviously a QB2, and I say mid-level QB2. I wouldn't be surprised if he just ends up non-drafted in most leagues, just because once you get to that range, he's in that Alex Smith, Scott, is the fact that if you're going to draft a second quarterback, you're going to try and find a Deshaun Watson. You're going to draft somebody like Mitchell Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to draft Case Keenum as your second quarterback and be like, oh, I want that consistent guy sitting on my bench all year long. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, I agree with you there, yeah.
All right, so we have Case. This is the wrap-up for everybody as we move on. If you're listening to this at night, there's probably a lot more that have happened since then, but Case Keenum to the Broncos, Allen Robinson to the Bears, Sammy Watkins to the Rams. Did you know he had $30 million guaranteed, by the way? Drew Brees are expected to agree, and the Saints are expected to agree on a two-year contract for all the rumors that somebody might try and chase him, which I thought made a lot of sense. Probably wasn't going to happen, but you might as well ask. Drew Brees back with the Saints, Andrew Norwell to the Jaguars. Those are the biggest ones. There's a few other that have started to flitter through, but nothing of this kind of impact. So that's the biggest ones. There'll be plenty. Check out rotoexperts.com, not just for the baseball package, but my free agency tracker with Fantasy Impact will be live today, actually. Going to start working on it after this show in the morning and going to be updating it nonstop for everybody, Scott. So we have one signing yesterday in baseball. Neil Walker going to the Yankees. I actually think this is a great move for them, Scott. I got to tell you, I was surprised that this is all Neil Walker could get. I wasn't expecting him to get 3 years, $45 million, or anything like that. But if you look at Neil Walker, over 140, 150 games, he's going to hit 20 home runs. He's going to steal 10 to 15 bases. He's going to produce runs, going to produce RBIs. He's a switch hitter, plays good defense, has a good average. I don't understand what everybody was just waiting for. And I think that this is a terrific landing spot if he ends up playing just 140 games for the Yankees, because he's going to get all those numbers playing half his games in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and, you know, you saw good power from him in 2016. I think he hit, like, 9 home runs in the first month. And then last year he flashed some more power with the Mets in the first half. And, you know, great on-base percentage with the Milwaukee Brewers later in the season. You know, this is a guy that's also a terrific clubhouse presence. And it's kind of a signal that the Yankees don't want to rush their young guys, because now they can have Walker in second and Drury in third. It's just a matter of staying healthy. You know, Walker now becomes a nice late-round middle infield, even though he, you know, the first week or two, he still might be working himself back into form.
That is very true. So what do you think this tells you about, because Andujar had been crushing the ball. They really hate his defense that much?
I think they don't want to rush him. You know, maybe they just they don't feel he's ready overall for whatever reason. Yes, he's been crushing the ball, but I don't know. You know, why the Yankees think that he's not quite ready to start the season. He doesn't have a lot of minor league experience. Maybe they just, you know, it's an organizational philosophy that, you know, they don't want to rush the young guys.
Yeah, I mean, Andujar, he's 23. He's actually going to be almost 24. I understand not rushing young guys. At the same time, I don't know. To me, that was my initial reaction. My initial reaction was, I mean, wow, do we hate his defense that much? Because I'm with you, and I understand not wanting to rush somebody, but he certainly looked ready so far through spring. And so, you know what? This is actually a quick side topic that I've had here for us to discuss for a while. Talk about spring training. And when it comes to pitching, you know how it goes. A lot of people say, oh, don't worry, this pitcher might be trying out a new pitch, or he's trying out a new way to approach the plate and work the strike zone, and don't overreact. If you know how good the pitcher is, you know how good he is. Don't worry. At the same time, and yeah, sometimes people are like, oh, look at how good this guy's playing. He's potentially going to get a job, or he's potentially going to be the breakout player this year. And to me, Scott, it sounds like a lot of people out there don't take any of the bad and only take the good. It's like everybody always puts up an excuse when somebody's playing bad. It's like, oh, he's trying something new. If he's a pitcher, if he's a hitter, he just hasn't gotten to his flow yet. He'll be fine. But then when it's something good, it's like, ooh, maybe I should have my eyes. It's like, I don't think you can do both, obviously. Like, that's not a fair thing to do. Say, just ignore all the bad, but take all the good.
Yeah. He's just been really bad at the plate. And, you know, there's so much hype when these guys come over, but you really never know for sure how anything is going to translate. You know, when you come over from Japan there. He's been mostly effective as a pitcher. As a hitter, he's been a complete mess. And with a lot of guys, you can say, okay, it's spring training, they're going to work through it. You know, but this guy is facing cultural changes in a major way in the way the game that's being played and everything else around him. So everything's going to get magnified, but when it's going wrong, you know, if it's going that badly, you know, you have to be careful that it doesn't become detrimental to the team.
All right, so looking at another signing that we didn't get to yesterday, but Carlos Gonzalez back with the Rockies. You think Carlos Gonzalez has fantasy value left in him, or now this has just created a logjam where now you want to stay away from the outfield except for Ian Desmond?
Look, he had a terrific September. He hit .377 with 6 home runs, which is the same amount of home runs he hit in the first half of the season when he hit just .211. You know, he claimed it was because of a sleep issue, and then when he went to a sleep clinic, he came back and had that great September. But if that was the only issue, then why did he last as long on the free agent market as he did until now? You know, I think the overall perception, even from baseball people, is that he's not what he was, and he might even have the platoon in the outfield.
And so that's the thing, is this pretty much destroys the value of David Dahl, who's got AAA options left, so he's headed to the minors. I mean, he's gone. Tapia's in the mix. Parra's in the mix when he's healthy. Like I said, if you're looking at this outfield for the Rockies, unless something happens in this last 2 weeks with Ryan McMahon and he just bombs and they change their mind at first base and move Ian Desmond back to first, as of right now, I think we're stuck in fantasy and there's lost value. It's Ian Desmond, and that's it for the Rockies outfielders.
Yeah, you know, and will Desmond move to first base now and play
like
some there?
Like I said,
there?
Unless McMahon, I don't see how they don't use McMahon now.
Yeah, I don't see how they use McMahon now, so it's a logjam there, and, you know, David Dahl has not had a good spring. I think he has options left, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so they could send him down. You know, Cargo's got something to prove here, though. That's interesting, and he did play well towards the end of last year. You know, it's a mess right now.
It is.
Fantasy-wise.
A fantasy mess, that's for sure. Is there any pitcher that you want for the Rockies, if you had to pick one? Would it just be John Gray, and would you try to avoid him at home, or do you want to just avoid the Rockies altogether?
I usually avoid the Rockies altogether.
Even if John Gray is your fourth pitcher?
Usually somebody always jumps for him before I do, or outbids me.
Yeah, but I'm giving it to him as your fourth pitcher.
I guess
all right,
okay,
how about this?
Never been comfortable with a tradition.
I got a question. So you have the Tout Wars auction coming up this Saturday. If I said John Gray $6, you going $7?
I'll probably go as high as $8.
All right. So if I said $9, that's it. You're checking out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on a Colorado pitcher.
You can. Does Tout Wars, is it weekly roster or is it daily transactions?
Weekly.
Okay, so yeah, you'd be stuck if you ever had a 2 starts and one was at home and one was on the road. That's the biggest thing, and that's part of the reason I also hate weekly roster setups, but that's just tough. Because what would you do if you had a home-road split? Would you go for the 2 starts, or would you just bench them all together?
Probably probably go for the splits. Yeah.
You would? You'd risk it?
I'd risk it.
That's fair. All right, we're going to hit the break. We're going to come back. More baseball news. It's Roto Experts. Scott Ankle, Jess, Jake Seeley.
Muscle Maker Grill was made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
Welcome back to Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Scott Angle, American Idiots. That's for sure. Fear agency, football, craziness, the legal tampering period, full effect. Yay! We're getting ready for the fantasy baseball season as well. A lot of things happening over there. Talked about Carlos Gonzalez finally signing. Talked about Walker signing yesterday. The other one we didn't get to, Scott, is Lance Lynn finally signed. I was starting to get a little bit. Well, actually, there's two more to get to. Both of these guys are in almost, I say, 90% of my league so far. And I was starting to get a little bit worried about my shares for Lance Lynn. But not only does he sign, but he signs with a pretty good team for a landing spot. It's not as great as being in the National League because he is going to the American League. But if you look at the division he's in, if you look at the ballpark he's going to be pitching in for half his games, if you look at the team that he has, the defense behind him, Lance Lynn with the Twins, actually pretty happy about it.
I don't know if I am necessarily, and it's not just based on where he's going. This used to seem more of a pitcher's park than it was, it's turned out to be. But if you look at some of Lance Lynn's peripherals, they are concerning, and he is also going to the American League. Now, overall, you look at 11-8, 3.43 ERA, that looks pretty good on the surface, but the FIP was 482, the XFIP was 475, the BABIP was a very low 244, and the strand rate was high at 79%. So a lot of the peripherals point to regression, and then you put on top of that that he's going to the American League. I don't think I'm as excited about Lance Lynn as you are.
I don't think he's going to regress that much. I know the BABIP was ridiculously low, but if you look at him before,
K/9 is only 7.39. That drops as well.
Yeah, but he's never been that high. He's never even reached, he has, one season of 9/9? Like, one per inning? He's mostly in that 8 range anyway.
It was his lowest ever.
And he was still successful. But if you look, what my point being is, if you look at the seasons before that, even with a BABIP at 300 and 300 plus, still always a sub-4 ERA. I don't think, like I said, I think the BABIP was a little bit lucky.
He's going to have a sub-4 ERA in the American League?
Pitching for the Twins and in that division, absolutely. I'd put the money on that. Look at the division. Yeah. What does he have to worry about there? I mean, honestly. He's got the Royals.
It's not like he's going to face that division for every one of his starts, though.
No, but he's going to face them more than anybody else. By far.
That'll also make them familiar with him, too, though.
I'm not worried about that.
I think you make some good points. Yes, look at the division. But that's probably the only positive I can take out of it. The guy had a 4.482 FIP last year. He was fortunate in BABIP. He had the lowest BABIP of his career, and he had a very high strand rate. So I don't think it's a slam dunk. I'm not saying you can't be right, but I don't think I'm quite as enthusiastic as you are. Even if he remained in St. Louis, I would say, maybe this guy is primed for some regression here.
Well, the ballparks, for that fact, they both play about almost the exact same, yeah. Cardinals and Twins. So, I mean, if you look at it, then that's what I'm looking at. I understand you're not going to face them every single time, but you are getting the Royals, White Sox, and Tigers versus the, Cubs, Brewers, and Pirates, Reds, yeah. Whatever. So it
is
definitely
fair. It's a better division for him to pitch in, yes.
I don't disagree with you about the BABIP being a concern, but at the same time, I think that he's better than the XFIP shows. I don't think he's a 475 pitcher at all. I think he's more around 4. like 3-9, 4-4, or 5.
I think you have to add something on going to the AL too, though.
Right, which is why I think he gets to 4. I mean, look at his ERAs. 312, 378, 397, 274, 303, 343. He's only neared 4 that 1 year. And that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. I agree that 343 was likely not feasible going to the American League,
right,
especially when you factor in that BABIP. I just think that if you say you want to give me an ERA at 4, like I said, you want to say 395, 405, somewhere, let's say at 4. You get an ERA at 4, you get 160 strikeouts, probably get a 10, 11 wins. I'll be happy with him as my fourth starter. And that's the thing, okay, is most of the places I've been getting him, Scott, because of the concern, because of the fact he wasn't signing anywhere, I was getting him as my fifth, sixth starter. So that's right. that's why I said I'm excited.
He did have a nice rebound year from the Tommy John. His velocity was just 91.8 though last year on the fastball.
I don't think, has he ever had a high fastball though? I think he's always sat around 92.
He's 92.8, 92.4.
Yeah.
He's a mix-it-up kind of pitcher.
If I'm looking right now,
I think he's what we're conversating to be. I think he's a middling pitcher.
I would say if we're looking right now, if I'm looking at his metrics for maybe the reason behind the BABIP and all that type of stuff, the only concern I would really have is his first strike percentage. It looks like he's getting behind. He's only got 54.6%. Half the time, he's starting behind, and that's not going to lead to success. So that would be my concern. I would want to see him fix that. But the other one, Scott, that I owned just about on every single team along with Lance Lynn was Jonathan LaCroix, because he didn't have a team. And now he's going to Oakland, where he's going to be the everyday catcher for the Oakland Athletics. And you know what? He doesn't hit a lot of long line drives. He's kind of a ground ball hitter. But for fantasy purposes wise, Jonathan LaCroix is always going to be inside the top 10. He's always going to be a producer. And the fact is, if you get 140 games from a catcher, you know how great that is. You probably look at it, I'd say 130. So you're going to get 130, a good average, 270, 280. You're going to get 10 to 15 home runs. This is another one where I'm glad I took the gamble on Jonathan LaCroix.
Last year, 6 home runs in 123 games.
He wasn't healthy last year.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Can he stay healthy? And, you know, in 2015, he just played 103 games. Now, it was just 2 years ago where he hit 24 home runs.
I'm not even expecting that. I'm expecting the 2013-14 Jonathan LaCroix.
Right. You're expecting maybe 15 to 17 home runs.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle team.
Last year he had a 286 BABIP, which is below what his usually career track is at 311. So I could see him being a pretty good number two fantasy catcher. You know, he is 32 years old, though. You know, I think that's a minor concern as well.
Oh, that's obviously always concerned. Yeah. I forget now. I was trying to think of who because I paired him. Oh, I paired him with Alex Avila in labor because I wait on catchers all the time. I always wait on catchers. Would you be okay with that duo in a 15-teamer? That Tout Wars this weekend, Scott. If I gave you Jonathan LaCroix and Alex Avila for a combined $5, would you be happy? I would.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Because that's basically the cost, with how late I took both of them. And then I do have Chance Cisco on the bench, too. So...
Cisco's going to start, they announced, yeah.
I know. Cisco is my last round pick.
For a while, yeah.
Last round pick in labor. There's the upside of the downside of drafting early, Scott, as we always know, because labor draft the second week of February. I've already lost Yuli Gurriel. I've already lost, who else did I lose? Daniel Murphy might not be ready to start the season. So I have those two situations going on right now with my team, and that's the downside of drafting early to February. But at the flip side, got Chance Cisco the last round of the draft. I got a couple other values like Kopich. Everybody's on him now. Who else? But, you know, J.P. Crawford wasn't supposed to have a job at the time. So, you know, that's the upside and downside. Which do you prefer? Do you like drafting early enough so you can get the values like I did, or do you prefer to wait a little bit so you can avoid drafting like a Gurriel and then not having your guy to start the year?
It really depends on who it is. I think you can get some good values with injured players. Yeah, but I get like Michael Conforto in the 17th round. You know, I'm definitely willing to wait a month. Daniel Murphy I got in the 5th before, you know, some more recent news about him, and I was very happy at the time.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the next play. Real quick, football news as it's coming through, because I just see it on the Twitter timeline over here.
Yeah.
So
don't
two
sleep
things.
On any of this.
You can't. Yeah. So it's going to be up for the next 72 hours. So the Bears might not be bringing back Cam Meredith. They have the option to match contracts because of what they gave him, that original tender thing, whatever it's called. But apparently they went hard after Watkins in addition to Allen Robinson. So maybe they're not sold 100% on. That'll be interesting to watch to see how this goes. But the other one, this is the most interesting one.
They bring
one,
back
Scott.
Cam Meredith. I don't think it's not because they're not sold on Allen Robinson. It'd be a nice pairing to have.
No. They weren't sold on Cam Meredith. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing. So this contract for Andrew Norwell, Scott, he is now the highest paid offensive lineman, not guard. Offensive lineman. He's making 13.3 a year. Okung makes 13.25, and Trent Williams makes 13.2. He's the highest paid offensive lineman, a guard, in the NFL.
Well, that seems like he's well earned. You know, certainly the top guy out there at guard. There's a lot of tackles out there, but not a lot of guards.
No, kudos to him going from undrafted to being the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL.
Yep.
But in any case, in addition for you guys, make sure every 3 minutes in America, somebody is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of the patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor within their family, but that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/FNTSY today and sign up online to register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which legitimately takes 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them, and that's it. You're done. DKMS will then try to match you up with a person in need of a donation. Process is easy, but best of all, you can actually save somebody's life. This isn't metaphorical. It's literal. You can save somebody's life. Go to check out dkms.org/FNTSY and see how you can help. All right, Scott. So Lance Lynn, we got all the signings here. I want to bring up a certain pitcher that, you know, people are like, they know the upside with Vincent Velasquez. They know his strikeout ability. They know the excitement behind him. But there was talks that Vincent Velasquez might not be ready until May, and then he wasn't throwing. And then all of a sudden, Vincent Velasquez is out there throwing already, looking good, and not only just looking good, but looking healthy, striking people out. Vincent Velasquez, where are you on him? Are you on board? Are you all in? Are you going to, you know, get some excitement back for Vincent Velasquez?
Well, you know, injuries were a big thing last year. And, you know, talking to some people from my Fantasy Baseball Insider series last year, in the preseason about Velasquez, and talking to some people close to the Phillies late that previous season in 2016, the feeling was that as good as Velasquez was, as a and talented as he was, you know, between the years, there was still there's still a lot going on there that he needed to fix, and, you know, had to become more of a pitcher than he was in a thrower. You know, he is going to be 26 years old, so hopefully it's time for him to mature if he can stay healthy. Obviously, the Ks per nine were terrific in 2016, 10.44. Last year, only played 15 games, but was down by 8.50, and he was just never the same.
Those
with the 5.13 ERA, the 5.52 ERA. So, to me, the guy's a total wild card. It's very, very difficult to project what you're going to get from Vince Velasquez.
You're a wild card, Scott.
Yeah, you could be so joyous you picked him by May 15th, or you could be cutting him by then.
Yeah, well, it's the thing that you said. The wild card is his wildness. If you look at the walks, over three per inning all the time, and all the way through the minors. The last time he didn't have over three per inning, you have to go all the way back. I mean, and we're talking about significant innings. You have to go all the way back to 2013 in single A, when he had a 2.7. So he still crept close to three, because anything lower than that, it was 8.2 innings. That doesn't count. Five innings doesn't count. Everything else over three for, and then as you mentioned last year, up at 4.3 per nine. And then he does the worst thing that you can do when you walk that many people, Scott. You know, this is something that plagues Tanaka. It's something that used to plague Severino until his breakout season last year. You get these guys on base, and then what do? They make it worse. They give up home runs.
Yeah, you know, and it's easy to do in that ballpark.
Yeah, 1.88 home runs per nine last year.
Yeah, and, you know, it's up all around the majors, but I think that's very disturbing. Although in 2016, it was still 144. You know, it wasn't great.
That's, Yeah. No. Astros, it was 0.81 in 2015. There, I guess there's some hope there, but he's Wild Thing Vaughn. He's Ricky Vaughn, man. That's what you have to
pretty
hope.
Much
just scare some people.
Last year, 4.25 walks per nine, and it was 3.09 in 2016. So there's something that he's obviously has to curb. The whip last year, 150. It was 133 in 2016. So you got the home run issues. You got the whip issues. Everybody loves to see a strikeout pitcher. But, you know, we were talking about Jake Junis this morning and Sean Newcomb. You know, do these guys have less control issues, command issues than a Vince Velasquez? We just know of Vince Velasquez more. But Junis or Newcomb could turn out to be sleepers.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want more help with this, fantasy baseball-wise, the stuff you're looking for, go to Fantrax.com. You can create the ultimate dynasty, keeper, or redraft league using Fantrax's free commissioner product. Find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, player salaries, and contract options all at your fingertips, and all are fully customizable. And with Fantrax Treasure, you can set up league entry fees and safely distribute the payouts without a third party so you don't have to track down owners for payments. Enter promo code AL, it's A-L, at sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with Fantasy Baseball Hour host Al Melchior, valued at $109. Check out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports at Fantrax.com today. Scott, as we close it out, this might, if you're listening to this at night, you're listening to it on replay, it might have already happened, but make your prediction. Kirk Cousins will be a blank in free agency. I still say the Vikings.
Yeah, me too. Although, in his thank you letter on his blog, he did originally tag the Jets, too.
I saw that. I think he's just trying to play it up for the most money possible. I don't think
he really you have to do that. He might mention the Cardinals at some point, too.
Yeah, but, he keeps doing that.
He's going to go somewhere, and the Jets and the Bills will probably have to fight for A.J. McCarron along with the Cardinals.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
But he was smart. He did it. He was out with Larry Fitzgerald, and he said, hey, this guy's a stud. He knows what he's doing. Kirk Cousins is a smart guy. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow. Probably a ton more to get into. Jake Seeley, Scott Angle. Go check out rotoexperts.com. Get ready for the fantasy baseball season. We'll see you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.